What's up, Colin here. Let's talk about something. So if you label someone an anti-vaxxer, conspiracy theorist, or some X-wing, some blanket statement, some broad label, and you fit someone in that box because of like one thing that you think they believe or they said or whatever, you are the reason discourse is broken down in this country. You are the reason that social media is creating so much divide and tribalism. You are the problem. When you understand human history, biology, when you understand the ancestral perspective, when you realize that humans as an evolutionary mechanism are designed to want to find an enemy, to want to find a them, an us versus them. This kept our ancestors safe. They evolved and lived and survived and moved to the top of the food chain to become the apex predator of Earth by being able to work together. And to work together in the wild, you had to think together. And what Mother Nature did is Mother Nature programmed out nuance. It didn't want gray. It wanted black or white. It wanted you bad, us good. It wanted unknown dangerous, unknown bad, unknown person, unknown thoughts, unknown beliefs, unknown skin color, whatever. Bad, 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 bad. Because these things that are unknown, we don't know the threat. So it made way more sense to be overly hyper vigilant against anything unknown or anything different and to basically kill it, kill ideas of dissent. Get everyone to think the same, get everyone on the same page, because that's how we're going to hunt together successfully. That's how we're going to have less brawls and people hoarding resources and all the things that make it for a fiercely egalitarian hunter-gatherer tribe to survive in the wild. It's not an easy proposition by any means. And guess what? The humans of today have all of that biology. Literally, the majority of people have no idea it exists. They have no idea that they walk through life with a set of preconceived ideas, biases, and notions. They have no idea why they want to think a certain way and how their brain will only seek out that confirming information. They don't understand what cognitive dissonance is. When you come across information that challenges your worldview, most people just let it go right out their ear. The brain and the memory is almost like you forget that somebody said that or you saw that or you read that. Or what a lot of people do online, and or I should say, is they attack the source. They find a reason why this person or this conveyor of this information is not credible, right? So they pick like one thing out. And if you actually think about how absurd this is, like all humans are flawed. None of us know what absolute truth is. And none of us have certainty in everything, right? Like there's literally not a single scientist in the history of mankind today, alive or in the future, that will literally be able to know everything and be right 100% of the time. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. So when you pick out something about someone you don't like, we try to discredit them, and then you use that to discredit what they're saying, you're being a complete and utter idiot. You're just being really, you're being a modern day moron. And it makes sense because your biology is designed a certain way. Like, so it's this hard thing because I understand where it comes from, but I feel like in our modern age with so much information around us, and I know not everyone is growth minded, not everybody wants to level up, not everybody wants to not succumb to bias. I get that. But I feel like more people should want to level up their thinking more and should want to find truth more. Yet most people don't really care about truth. For example, crony belief. So crony belief is written, this blog, it's this idea, he coined it. It's this idea that people will believe things that bring them a certain benefit with other people. This makes so much sense. Your family is a certain political view and you don't want to rock the boat or cause any distress, or you're not the type that likes to be outspoken about your opinions. So you just kind of go along with those beliefs. Or this girl that you like that you're trying to impress, she's vegan or this or that or whatever. And so you start adopting these beliefs. There's so many examples where we want to think like other people that we either want to be like, or we want to be as close to as possible. This is a crony belief, right? It's not about reality. It's not about facts. It's about a desire to believe something to toe a certain status quo for a certain person or group that you want to belong to. That's all it is. So again, this makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. This makes a ton of sense. And my gripe with this and where I get stuck on this is that not everybody's going to be open-minded. Not everybody is going to be self-aware. Not everybody even wants to be. Not everybody wants to find truth. People want to literally feel superior and feel good and gain power by cutting people down or putting them in this them group. People genuinely want to do this. This is what the entire SJW cancel culture online mob is all about. It's about power. It's not about right or wrong or justice. It's literally about power. It's a power grab. Yeah. So the idea of anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists, these are really, really dangerous. And they've been used throughout history to silence people that have dissenting views. What you find throughout history is the martyrs, the revolutionaries, the innovators, these people always bring things to the masses when the masses aren't ready to have them. And what the masses do is they attack. And then over time, with enough adoption of an idea or a technology or whatever, eventually becomes the new status quo, the new norm. And then those same people that were attacking the new things, they just find whatever the newest thing is to attack. I mean, the printing press was attacked. The Luddites, the mills, that was the thing for the Luddites. The mills, they thought they were going to, and I guess in a lot of cases it did. It took a lot of their jobs away. This is very pre-industrial, you know, early time through capitalism, and these different things had to evolve, right? So there was a legit concern that you would have less ability to make a wage, and the owners of the mills could basically push your wages to as a race to the bottom, because a lot of people would be willing to operate the machine versus before, when you had a skill, you could charge more. So, like, I get it, but this is evolution. It's technological destruction. A lot of jobs have to die because that's what technology does, is it allows humans to do more things in less time with less energy and less input needed, and eventually no human input. And that's good, though. That's good. Because the reality is, if we all collectively combine together, maybe in the next 20 to 50 years, we could all live in utopia and have to work very little or almost not at all. And then we could pursue things like enjoying being in the presence of another human, spending more time with our friends and family, art, music, gaming. I don't want to say full-blown Wall-E style where we're just plugged into a screen and we're all overweight and whatever. Like, that is very much a possible future, you know? And in some ways, we already live in Wall-E world. Like, it's what's happening right now. But hopefully, maybe, technology, we will be able to solve even that. We'll be able to solve this processed food, cheap, convenient food thing. Hopefully, there'll be something that will come out where people can eat, you know, clean, full nutrition. It can come in a pill, or it can taste like pizza. Like, I genuinely want that innovation to happen. But as it stands right now, we know that that's literally a pipe dream. If you're going to eat seed oils, sugars, grains, and other processed industrial food, you're going to pay a price. It's just very simple. If you don't move, if you don't walk, if you're not getting exercise, getting sunlight, you're going to pay a price. We understand this. I think over time, though, we will solve these things. These are just things that science hasn't solved yet, which is why we should be so pro-innovation. We should be so pro-growth-minded and open-minded, and we should not be attacking people that have different ideas. We need to understand that science is not a destination. It's an ongoing process. The way science becomes science, like, people think science is like a researcher doing a study, and then that showed this, and then now that's fact. Scientific fact, even when there's consensus that it's fact, takes literally years or generations to ever enter the book of scientific truth. And a lot of times when things enter the book of scientific truth, they're eventually removed from the book when a new discovery basically displaces everything that came before it. That happens all the time. And if you look out through our history, the majority of scientists throughout history, since the scientific revolution, since we've been doing this shit, have been wrong most of the time. The majority of scientists throughout history have been wrong most of the time. So in 2020, what things will we look back in 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 years, and will we think those cavemen of 2020 thought they were so smart with all their science? Literally don't even understand what it is or how it works. So I won't go on with that. This is just a short reminder that labeling people or writing them off, fitting them into a box, trying to make them an enemy because they think differently or have different this, that, or whatever than you, is your innate tribalism built into your genes, your biology. And if you don't resist that, you're going to pay a lot of prices, and you potentially are going to devolve America, freedom of speech, freedom period, into a totalitarian dystopian future that I don't want my kids to grow up in. So it's actually a really big deal. And it all starts with, as you know, like whether Gandhi said it or didn't say it, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. You know, everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change himself. That's somebody else said that. It starts with you. Don't label people. Don't write them off. Understand. And if you really, really want to take it to the next level and you really want to be a first principles thinker and be open-minded, you should be able to argue their point against yours better than they can. Because then, if you still have your same views or beliefs and they're contrary or on the other side as someone else's, now you at least have all the information and you're making an educated decision. And then in that case, I would say, be wary of thinking you're smarter than other people and acting holier than thou and looking down to people and demeaning them, whatever. Because that is, again, these are all biological mechanisms, right? To keep an even playing field of people thinking the same. That's what nature wanted. It wants humans to think the same because nature thinks that we're living in the wild and that's most conducive for survival. But we live in a complex, interconnected industrial world that if we don't accept contrary worldviews, we actually stifle the scientific process, we stifle innovation, we stifle things that can lead to more freedom and equality for all, and we actually move more to a totalitarian dystopia. Because governments, what do? They gobble it up. It's like a vacuum. Governments love pitting citizens against citizens because then they can just write more laws, get more power for themselves while the peasants are just fighting each other. That's it for today. Get on the Better Human Newsletter over at colin.coach, and I'll see you in the next one. We'll be right back.